a sermon outline to follow along with me in your bulletins today. And Saints, what is today's title? One more time. God's work is greater than it appears. And Saints, I just want to let you all know, because I've had quite a few conversations with a number of people in church today, some from first service, some from second service already. And I really already wrote the sermon. Here's my pages. So if you feel like I'm spilling your business, I'm not. But after talking to so many, I'm like, oh, Lord, I see why you gave me this sermon for today. But Saints, we are all in need, and we all have to understand that God's work really is greater than it appears. So let's take a moment to pray. Gracious God, we need you more than ever. For Lord, we are living in a time of great trial and great tribulation. Every day we are surrounded by suffering that is so hard to imagine and difficult to comprehend. Lord, we come to you with great expectation. We need your guidance, your wisdom, and your reassurance this day. Lord, give us exactly what we need, and we give you all the praise. It's in the mighty name of Jesus Christ that we pray, and the people of God said, amen. Praise God, saints. You know, I often find myself asking the question, what is God doing? What is God doing in our world? Especially when we get up every day and many of us look at the plain dealer, or we go online to the websites that we go to, or we watch television, or we listen to the radio, and we see all of the stories of tragedies in our world. And we must wonder at times, what is God doing? I mean, just this past week in the Cleveland plain dealer, what did we see, saints? Anybody know? Big story? What was that, Monday? The teacher layoffs. Yes, 545 teachers laid off in the Cleveland public school system. 117 support staff and 100 principals laid off. And that was just here in Cleveland. What about the volcano that's currently erupting in Iceland? That is affecting millions of people. The situation in Haiti, people think that that's stopping, it's all better, but it's not, saints. They're just starting to release the numbers of how many people have been impacted in Haiti. 225,570 killed in Port-au-Prince, Haiti. 300,000 injured. 1.3 million people displaced. That means they are without their homes. 1.3 million. I didn't know there was that many people on the island of Haiti. But 1.3 million people displaced. In Indonesia, there was an earthquake. 1,100 people have died in that. Just in our own lands, in the United States of America, in Mississippi, there was a tornado this week. Killed 10 people. And I know that number 10 sounds small in comparison to some other numbers, but saints, if you were those 10 people or those 10 families, that number is big. In the Gulf of New Mexico, Gulf Coast, New Orleans, 11 men have lost their lives to a tragedy in the oil rig spill. And then if we also think about all the animals, the creatures that have been impacted, jobs have been impacted by that. We heard a couple weeks ago in Raleigh, West Virginia, the coal miners. 25 coal miners. We can come back closer to home. Just in Cleveland, a baby was thrown off the bridge by his father. A baby, like 3 months old baby, thrown off a bridge. We remember the story of the woman who was mistaken for a deer. She lay there dead, saying, strangled and killed, and she was a mother of three children. And this list of tragedies doesn't even include our own lives. Because many of us don't have to look at the newspaper to see tragedy. All we have to do is look in our own lives. Many of us right now are dealing with death and illness and divorce and different kind of abuses in our own homes. We are living at a time of great discouragement. There seems to be no hope. Just when we get through one tragedy, another tragedy is waiting right around the corner. It can be real hard to believe that in the midst of all of these tragedies and all of these circumstances, that God is actually at work. But I want you to tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, God's work is greater than it appears. Amen. God's work is greater than it appears. And not only is God's work greater than it appears, God expects our work to be great too. So tell your neighbor, neighbor, get to work. Now I know you are sitting there thinking, here we go, she about to start preaching to us about working and doing all this stuff. And I know some of you are feeling, how can we focus on the needs of God? How can we focus on the needs of the church when we can barely manage our own needs? We must ask ourselves the question, how can they expect me to help others when I am the one in the need of help? I mean, these layoffs for the teachers, we haven't even realized how hard that's going to hit us right here in Glenville. They already closed some of our schools. Now they're taking away our teachers. And some of those teachers are right here in Glenville, saints. Some of those support staff, some of those principals are right here in Glenville, saints. So how do we as individuals, how do we as a church family think about helping others when we seem to be the ones in the need of the help? You know, we have a lot of different issues, and I feel like some of us are facing what I like to call the empty pocket syndrome. You know, it's an ongoing illness. It's kind of contagious. But every time we look into our pockets, our purses, our wallets, our penny jars, and our bank accounts, it seems that they are empty or look seriously negative. So how can I help you with a dime when I don't even have my own dime? Every time somebody's asking me for something, but I don't have it. And it's not just lack of money that's keeping us down. Other problems are keeping us down. There are many around the church that think that other people don't have any problems. Think that I am the only one. I like to call that the I am the only one syndrome. I am the only one that's going through suffering. You know, I went to a conference and they shared that many people who have suffered the loss of a loved one through death, they stop going to church right afterward because they believe that no one in the building understands how they are feeling. They believe that no one is grieving but them. I am the only one hurting. Let me ask you, saints, anybody know a little something about grieving today? Anybody know something what it feels like to lose someone in their hearts? Many of us suffering that I'm the only one syndrome. I'm the only one who ever went through a divorce. I'm the only one who got a jacked up marriage. I'm the only one who married to this one over here. I'm the only one that's struggling in my house. I'm the only one that's got the parents that I got. Anybody suffering from that syndrome today? I'm the only one that's got the kids that I got. Y'all young people, you feel like you got the strictest parents on earth, don't you? Well, I'm going to tell you, my kids got all y'all beat because they think they got the strictest parents on earth. But we all go through that I'm the only one syndrome. I'm the only one who knows what it's like to suffer from drug abuse and alcohol. I'm the only one who knows what it's like to have parents who didn't do what they were supposed to do. I'm the only one who understands spiritual warfare and how Satan works. I'm the only one struggling on my job. I'm the only one working long hours. Everybody else in my house sleep and I'm up working. I'm the only one who suffers physically. No one else knows what it's like to have cancer or some kind of lung disease or my legs don't work. I'm the only one. We suffer from them said I'm the only one syndrome, don't we? Well, saints, when we get on that I'm the only one street, because that's what I think of it, you on the street, you driving down the street on the I'm the only one, and you the only one on that street. And you just need to back on up off that street, because you're not the only one. You're not the only one. Turn to your neighbor and say, you're not the only one. But since we get so bogged down in our problems, we get bogged down in the world and the lack of money and the lack of thinking that anything is ever going to be different. And we start believing, how can I help somebody else when I can barely help myself? And I love those saints that get the bright idea because they're struggling so bad. And they say, oh, I'm going to give my life with Christ. That's going to make it better. And we start coming to church and we start doing stuff for a whole week. You know, we get our attitudes together. I'm going to talk to everybody nice. We start doing all the right things for that whole straight week. And then we sit back and, you know, we even go on a couple youth outings. We go with the choir for that whole week. We're doing everything right with God. And we sit back and then we say, all right, Lord, bless me. I've done so much for you, Lord Jesus. Give me my blessings right now. And then we just sit and wait. And we sit and wait a little bit more, and we wait and wait and wait. And then finally, when nothing happens the way we want it to happen, well, we say, well, see, that God doesn't work. God is not at work. That's how we think sometimes, amen? We can even do that at the church. We'll think, oh, nothing's happening at that church. I didn't just see God bring four new members in the building. Nothing's happening at that church. I didn't see God bringing all those new guests. Nothing's happening. And we get so discouraged, saints. Because, saints, we want God to be present physically. We want to see it. We want some action. We want new parents. We want a new house. We want a new job. We want a new car. We want new clothes. We want a new situation. And we get so frustrated when we cannot see how God is working. Or we get frustrated when we don't understand how God is working in our lives. And so we say, forget God, forget church, I'm not coming back. Nothing seems to be happening for me. Oh, it's happening for all the rest of those folks, but it ain't happening for me. When we can't understand, or we can't see the plans, when we can't see that God is working in our lives, when we can't see that God's plan is greater than it always appears, guess what we do? We start going back to our old ways. Soon as things aren't working out, we start going back. You know what we say to ourselves? It's just taking too long for God to help me with this job thing. I might as well go back to my life of crime. It's taking too long for God to resolve my marriage problems. Might as well go back to being in a single life, or maybe even acting like I'm a single person. Taking too long for God to fix my parents. I'm not going to listen to them anymore. I got to act together. Taking too long for God to fix my kids. So I'm just going to act like they don't even exist in my house. I'm not going to help them with their homework. They're going to get bad grades anyway. Should I sit with them? Taking too long for my debt to go down. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this new credit card that just came in the mail. I'm going to go buy me some new shoes. Go help me feel better. Rack up all this new money, new debt. As soon as we think God is not at work, it's so easy to return to our old ways. Saints, read this scripture with me. It's in your bulletin and it's also going to be overhead. Who of you is left? Who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it seem to you like nothing? But now, be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all the people of the land, declares the Lord. And work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. Now, I know most of you don't pay attention to the book of Haggai, those minor prophets. You're like, Habakkuk, and they him. Who? You're like, who is Haggai? But I want you to say, Haggai was the builder. He was the builder. He was one of those leaders who had to help build back up the city of God once the Babylonians had destroyed their city. Now, let me break that down, put some things into perspective. We all know we were at war with Iraq, right? So our country was over there dropping major bombs on their country. Now, do you think their buildings are still standing after all of that? No. Their temples are gone. Their schools are gone. Their city hall is gone. Their business offices are gone. All those buildings are gone. And this is what's the same that happened to the Israelites. No grocery stores. It is gone. So let's bring it home even closer. What if someone came to Cleveland, Saints, and destroyed our city? That means when we went to go downtown to Tower City, it would be gone. When we needed to go get some new information, get some ID, City Hall would be gone. There would be no BP building, no schools, no churches, no nothing. The city was completely destroyed. So that is what happened in Haggai's time. The people's city were destroyed. They were taken way over to a country called Babylon. Babylonia. And then, after they got way over there, they were allowed to go back. But this was after years. So not only was their city destroyed, but years went by. So you know trees grew up and everything and that. So now they got to go back and rebuild this city. So here we are back in Cleveland. Our city is destroyed. They send us over to Alaska. We sit in Alaska for a few years. Then they say, well, go on back. Now you can rebuild your city. But they don't give you much of anything to do that. They just send you back. You got to work with what you got. But these people are so glad to go home. They don't care. They get all excited. And they're so glad to be going home. And they go back to their city and they start building. And they get the foundation laid. And they get the wall put up. But then they sit around and think, you know what? This is taking too long. This is taking too long. Anybody ever had that feeling? You got started in something real good. You gung-ho about it, and things is going good. You get the foundation built. You get the little walls up, and you say, this is taking too long. And we start getting discouraged because things are taking too long, or things are hard, or doesn't seem like anything is happening, and you're doing all this work, but nothing seems to be happening. But what does our scripture tell us? Look at that again with me. It says at the beginning, be strong. Be strong. And he didn't just tell one group of people. He broke it down. He said to the leaders. Zerubbabel represents the leaders. Then he said to the pastors. Joshua represents the pastors. Then he said to the people, be strong. What else does he say? He says, work. Work. He's telling us to keep doing what you're doing. As long as you're doing the right thing. He said, keep doing what you're doing. I know you can't see it all, but keep working. Keep trusting. Keep serving. Now is not the time to give up and sit down because my work is so much greater than it appears to you. What else does he say? He says, I am with you. I am with you. Be strong. Work. I am with you. Ever had a day, time, maybe today, feeling alone? Feeling like you don't know what you should do? Been pondering an answer, trying to figure out an answer for a long time? What should you do? The Lord says, be strong. Keep working. I am with you. But I know you're sitting there saying, okay, Pastor Kelly, I really would like something practical today to take on. That's all nice to hear, but I want some practical things for my life. Well, the first thing that we need to do is realize and admit some of our histories. You see, say some of us come from some backgrounds where our families have not lived like we know God. Some of us have been the ones that have lived like we don't know God. We have lived years and years of sin. We have lived years and years of spending our money how we want to spend it. We have lived years and years and years of having sex the way we want to have sex. We have lived years and years of making decisions like there was no God. And then we come to church for a couple days, a few weeks, a couple months, a couple years, and we say, God, fix it all. And fix it all right now. And if you don't fix it, that means you're not working. You see, we expect, no, we demand that God fix everything in our lives instantly. We live in this time of instant gratification, and we think that we can treat Jesus like the microwave oven. We can go get our bag of popcorn, stick it in, boop, boop, boop. Ding! All right, Jesus, give me what I want. Wow, saints. Who do we think we are? Who do we think we are that with our sins, our choices, our lives, that we deserve to be able to tell God whatever we want in our lives? Who do we think we are that we think we deserve so much when the only thing we all deserve is death? Most of us in here don't deserve one kindness extended from God. Most of us don't deserve one bit of generosity extended from God. But here we are with a God who loves us so much, and then we still have the nerve to complain and say, you know, it's just taking too long. You're not really at work, Lord. Saints, I believe that we need a good lesson in repentance. In repentance and humility. And repentance doesn't just mean coming up and saying one good time, Lord, forgive me, I'm a sinner, and let me turn my life around and give it back to you. It is not just that. That is the beginning. Repentance is this true humility and realizing that we don't deserve one thing. We don't deserve anything that God has given to us on this earth. Saints, many of us feel like all of the things happening in the world are some kind of punishment from God. We're being punished. We're being judged. All these things are happening because of a punishment. But not so, saints. God is trying to give us a wake-up call. He's trying to remind us that it is not our way. It is God's way. It is God's way. You see, saints, these lives that we live that we think are our own are not ours. These decisions that we think we can make are not ours to make. It is not our job. It is God's job, saints. God's work is always greater than it appears. Saints, we get so wrapped up in the world and the societies that we live in, we forget that it's not about us. It's not about money. It's not about things. It's not about going on some fancy trip and cruise to the Bahamas. It's not about materials. Whenever we as human beings get wrapped up, saints, in these things, we forget all about God. And if we could just simply wrap our minds around this one idea, this one picture, saying that God's picture, God's story is always greater than ours. Our lives are just a little bitty spot within God's greater story, within His story. But it's always His story, saints. You know, we get so focused on building it. The Israelites were so focused on that building and building and building, and they thought they were building the temple. They got confused about the temple. You see, saints, God is not interested in building us a new ranch house that's spread across 7 acres. God is not interested in giving us a 2-3-4-car garage with a basketball hoop in the backyard. And God is not interested in getting us our own new boats and new cars and all those nice things. God is interested in building the temple. The temple. Still not sure what the temple is? Read this with me in 1 Corinthians. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with our bodies. See the change, saints? That is how we can answer the questions of the day. You see, because God is not interested in building physical buildings. He is interested in the temple. In the temple. Saints, life is hard. It is. Family is hard. Work is hard. But none of that matters for help and how to get through these trying days, remember what is God's, what is he doing? Building the temple. Also remember our second answer when we need these practical answers on what to do. And I really want you all to take this home. I want you to put it up on your mirror. You know how you gotta give yourself a little reminder notes. Put it on the mirror, the refrigerator. When I come visit you at your house or Pastor Rick and Pastor Toby come visit you, we want to see this. Put it right on the front of your door. So as soon as you walk in, so it's on both sides. You walk in, you see it. You walk out, you see it. Put God first. Put God first. Read that scripture with me from Matthew. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And saints, that doesn't mean seek first and put God first for a couple days. You can't just put God first for a couple weeks or a couple months or even a couple years. This is a lifetime effort. You will never, ever go back to who you used to be. You will never go back to who you were. This is a lifetime effort, saints. A lifetime effort of serving God. A lifetime effort of listening for God. A lifetime effort of working alongside with God. See, sometimes we think we're doing God's work. We're working for God. But it's really God allowing us to come beside him and work with him. This is a lifetime effort of putting each other first. Putting others first. Now I know you may still be sitting there saying, Pastor Kelly, it just doesn't make sense. I try so hard to do things God's way, but in the midst of these trying days, how can I really do it? How can this be realistic in my life? All these folks killing, all the crimes happening, all of these bad things happening, how can I really put God first? It just doesn't make sense. But saints, nothing about God is supposed to make sense to us. Putting God first is something we do. It's not something we try to figure out. I know many persons, when I was looking at the New Testament scripture, Luke, it says in there, anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none. Anyone who has food should do the same. How can I give you my shirt? Then I'm going to have one left. How can I give you my food when I only got a little bit of food anyway, and then I'm going to have less to eat? How can we realistically do these things? It doesn't make sense to do things God's way. It doesn't make sense to try to help you when I feel like I need some help. It does not make sense. This world is teaching us, look out for self. Look out for you and yours. Look out for me and mine. How am I going to look out for everybody? I got to look out for me and mine here today. But you see, saints, Jesus is drawing us from the old way into the new way, drawing us from this world into his kingdom. He is trying to get us to do things differently so it won't always make sense. But still, how do we honestly do this? Here's a few practical tips. Every day, saints, we get up and we build now. Now. You see, tomorrow is gone. We can't get that back. Yesterday is gone. We can't get that back. And tomorrow is not promised. We're not sure to be here tomorrow. All we got is today. We can't keep saying, I'm going to wait till I get this, and I'm going to wait till this, and I'm going to wait till that. Oh, you're going to be waiting for eternity. We have to build the temple now. And we all know about this stuff. We know about praying. We know about reading our Bibles and fellowshipping with each other. But it's some deeper stuff in that, saints. It's about right speech. How are we talking to each other? How are we really speaking and communicating with each other? Right thoughts. You can't go around thinking bad thoughts about somebody all day then think you're going to be having a good relationship with them. It's about right actions, choosing to do the right thing even when no one else wants to do the right thing. It's about choices, right choices, making decisions for yourself to the betterment of yourself. saying today. If I have to go by myself, because some of us are sitting here waiting for everybody else to get up and do their part before we can move. Don't wait. Don't wait till everybody else in your family is acting right. You act right first. Don't wait till everybody else on your job is doing what they're supposed to do. You do your job first. Don't wait till the people in the community start acting like they got sense. You act like you got sense first. We have to do our part no matter what else someone else is doing around us. And since we honestly need to take care of the one thing that will last for all of eternity, our temples. Our temples. That relationship with you and Jesus Christ, saints. You see, some of us treat our physical buildings, our physical temples, better than we treat our spiritual temples. We treat our houses and our cars and our clothes better than we treat what God has given to us, saints. But God is saying, what matters to me is building your temple. I'm not concerned about you getting a new addition on your house. I'm not concerned about you getting a new paint. I'm not concerned about that broken thing. I'm concerned about your temple. And you see, saints, this morning God put it in my head so quickly because I've always wondered that every time I pray for like finances or I pray for a blessing, material blessing, God bring a person into my life. I was like, that's how I got two babies. We was praying for finances, we got two babies. But I just realized it took me 8 years to get it. God is not interested in building my physical temple. He's interested in building our spiritual temple, saints. He's not interested in trying to figure out how to help you get a new window or new curtains or a new couch or a new car. He's interested in your temple. And what's even greater is you see, saints, because every time we need something, he doesn't just go get us new construction. He doesn't go get us new drywall or new curtains or new chairs. He brings in more people. We pray for better space at Glenville. He brings in more people. We pray for something else. God brings in more people. Because when we finally realize that we are the temple that God is most interested in building, it resolves many of the questions that we have in our days. It resolves many of those questions about what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to do it if we focus on these temples and not those temples, saints. Let's pray. Gracious God, we get so confused, saints. We get so confused, Heavenly Father. And we get so wrapped up in this world and what this world has to offer because it's so glittery and so wonderful, Lord. And we think we want what everybody else has, Lord. When we don't even turn around to see what you have waiting to offer for us, Lord Jesus. Help us to see, Lord, that you are not interested in helping us to get a new house or a bigger house or more physical material things, that you are interested in one temple and one temple only, and that is a temple where your Holy Spirit dwells in us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to make right choices, to live like you are always present with us. You are always with us, Lord, dwelling inside of us, knowing us, helping us, Lord. Lord, we thank you for this day, but we also know that there are many right now that are still discouraged. Many right now who just can't figure out an answer, Lord. So please, Heavenly Father, press upon their hearts that you are